Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. A portion of God's word we'll meditate on this morning comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 and 10, as follows. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, our Savior God, dear friends in Christ, a missionary from the African country of Zimbabwe tells of an interesting custom they have there. In Zimbabwe, when you receive a gift from someone, it is necessary to hold out both hands to receive it. Even if it's nothing more than a match with which to start a fire, two hands are socially necessary to receive it. If you don't hold out two hands, it means you're not grateful for the gift. Our text for today is an example of a man who held out two hands in a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all the blessings the Lord had given him. Jacob was standing at a crossroads in his life, facing a crisis, uncertain of what the future would bring. And at this moment, he lifts up his hands in prayer to give thanks to God. I hope that we Christians can do the same thing this week of our observance of National Thanksgiving. That's why our theme for today is pausing for thanks at the crossroads of life. Jacob was definitely at a crossroads in his life. He knew that the following day, he would be facing his brother Esau again for the first time in 20 years. Esau, whom he had cheated out of his birthright and his blessing. Esau, who had vowed to kill him. As far as Jacob knew, this might well be his last day alive. And then he does something that a lot of us might not dream of doing. He picks that moment to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God. It's interesting to see the words he uses to preface his prayer. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. Almost as though Jacob is reminding God of his promises. Or rather, because God never forgets a promise, reminding himself of God's promises. Have you faced a crossroads in your life recently? Maybe you've got one coming up in the near future. Then it's a good time for you to review the promises God has made to you. And what promises has he made to you? It might be easier to enumerate the ones he hasn't made. In Matthew chapter 6, God promises to provide for all your wants and needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Psalm 34, God promises to deliver you from every trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In Isaiah 44, the Lord promises to forgive the sin that's been burdening your conscience. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. In the 14th chapter of John, God promises you a place in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Once in a while, when we reach a crossroads, it's good for us to remind ourselves of all these promises, because God never goes back on a promise. And amid all the uncertainties of our day-to-day life in this 21st century world, this we can be sure about. Those promises will come true in our lives. The next step in Jacob's prayer of thanks is a bit surprising. He admits his own unworthiness. He says, Lord, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. And the word for unworthy there is interesting in the Hebrew. It literally means small. Lord, I am small. I am way too small for you to direct all these blessings and all this mercy and grace on me. There's nothing inherent in me that deserves these blessings. One writer said that a believer has to be nothing enough. A Christian should be nothing enough to admit that God is everything. Jacob was nothing enough. In his prayer, he humbly admitted his own unworthiness, and he went on in the next step of his prayer to recognize God's blessings. He says, "O Lord, I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups." God had given him a large family, scores of servants, flocks and herds that stretched from one horizon to the other, so many that faced with the imminent danger, he decided to separate them into two groups to cross the Jordan. From one stick to two groups so large he could hardly count them. I don't think you and I can really count our blessings either, can we? We'd be here all day and we wouldn't finish. The material things, of course, are the easiest for God to provide. Jesus merely refers to them as things. He simply says, "These things shall be added unto you. The clothes you wear, the roof God puts over your head, the food that he will place before you on the Thanksgiving Day dinner table." All of these he gives us, and we may even murmur a prayer of thanks for these things from time to time. But what about the bigger things, the things that are infinitely more valuable than that? How about thanking God for placing you here in your family at Emmanuel, a place where, in addition to excellent academics, his word is held as the highest standard? How often do you pause to realize the blessings of your family, your parents and grandparents, brothers and sisters and other relatives, people who love you and whom you love? According to the psalmist, that's another excellent reason for us to rejoice and be thankful. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. And while we're on the subject of God's blessings, let's not, of course, overlook the big one. In 5 days, the Advent season begins, a season of the church year in which we specifically focus on God's greatest gift to us, the gift of his Son. To a wretched, ungrateful world steeped in sin, God sent his only Son. The everlasting King became a pauper so that he could make his perfect life a gift of righteousness to you. He offered his innocent blood for you on the cross of Calvary, with the result, says the psalmist, that your sins are now removed from you as far as the east is from the west. He died a shameful death of a criminal in order to give you the exalted status of child of God. If you're thankful for anything this Thanksgiving, be thankful for that precious gift. Be thankful that because of Jesus' sacrifice, you are redeemed, restored, and forgiven. Be thankful that you can lay your head down in your pillow tonight without a single sin on your conscience, because your Jesus has atoned for every one. This Thanksgiving, let's say thank you to God the Zimbabwean way, with both hands. Let's extend our hands to heaven in a prayer of heartfelt thanks for all his gifts, great and small, and especially for the gift of his Son. And let us remember the year round, when faced with joy or sorrow, to pause for thanks at the crossroads of life. Amen. We'll sing in a moment hymn 895. I'd like to offer a word of encouragement about singing. It may just be me, but the singing has sounded perhaps a bit weak in morning chapel lately. I have had almost all of you in my religion class, and I know you can sing loud. I've heard you in mass choir, and I know you can sing loud. So if we're thankful for God's blessings, let's make these rafters ring. And it doesn't matter if you hit every note perfectly, and it doesn't matter what the people sitting around you think. What matters is your heart's response of faith to the bounties the Lord has given you. So if you're thankful for the blessings that are in your life, then let her rip is what I say. Join me in singing loud thanksgivings to our God. Hymn 895, it contains a reference to the Trinity in the final stanza. We will rise for the singing of stanza 3.